was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Father God. Thank you so much, Lord, for those that came tonight and traveled long distances, Father God. Thank you for your word, Father God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for convicting us, Lord, of all of our sins, Lord, and wrong things that we do. Lord, we don't want to be a gathering of people that come here, Father God, because of all of our problems, Lord. We want to come here to worship you, Jesus, and thank you for all of the problems we don't have, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus, for saving my kids every time they ran in the middle of the road, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for every time we bypassed illness, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for when the angel of death came to visit us, Father God, and you shooed them away, Lord. Thank you for all the things, Father God, we don't even know, that we just take for granted, Lord. Thank you for that roof over our heads, Father God, the food on our plates, Father God, the clothes that we wear, Father God. Thank you for the friends, Lord, that do things for us behind our backs, Father God, that we didn't even know about, Lord. Thank you for kids, Lord. Thank you for keeping us safe, Father God. Lord, I know that we are just here visitors, Father God, on the earth, Lord. Our souls are borrowed, Father God. Lord, we want to spend an eternity with you, Lord. We don't want to make any mistakes. We don't care about what the world thinks, Father God. We only care about what you think, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise Jesus. Duke, thank you so much for passing out the Bibles. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's so nice. I remember meeting Duke for the first time. I was at the mall and I was trying to wash my truck. It was filthy, covered with mud from head to toe. Duke was working in the car wash. Invited him to come to care group, and he came to care group, and he got saved.
He's so funny. We love having him.
What I wanted to teach about tonight is something the Holy Spirit has really been working with me. So I know that if he's working on it with me, he's probably working on it with you too. But I find that I have a very critical spirit, a critical attitude toward others. I find myself criticizing my kids, criticizing my wife, criticizing my family, criticizing my friends. And I've had this my entire life, a spirit of criticism. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus made it very simple. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a very few ever find it. The gate that leads to eternal life is called narrow. That doesn't mean that it's difficult to become a Christian, but that there is only one way to eternal life with God, and that only a few decide to walk that road. Lots of people are living in the world right now. Lots of people that I come in contact with are living in the world. I know many of my friends that are still drinking Jack Daniels every single day, smoking cigarettes, and getting in all kinds of trouble. I get emails from back home, you know, someone else has went to jail. Someone else is going back to prison. Someone else got their fourth divorce. Someone else is having a child out of wedlock. Someone else is going through some sort of crisis. Someone else lost their house. I am so thankful that I met a girl that brought me to a church 15 years ago where I got saved and met Jesus Christ and found peace and joy and happiness so that I don't have to endure all that stuff. And you don't have to endure it. And the people living in the world don't have to endure it. But it is a hard road to walk. Believing in Jesus is the only way to heaven because he alone died for our sins and made us right before God. Living his way may not be popular, but it is true. It is right. Thank God there is one way. I know it's hard to do what's right. Just because you call yourself a Christian or just because you get saved, it doesn't mean that it's rosy, rosy, rosy red. I used to think that being a man was all about being tough, beating somebody up, and enduring all sorts of stuff. I used to think being tough was how much a man could drink. I used to think being tough was how big of a guy you could bring down arm wrestling. I used to think being tough was surviving out in the middle of the wilderness in 40 below by yourself in a cabin all winter long. But you know what I found out? What a real man is? The man that follows God, that tries to improve himself, that puts himself on the pathway to God. And there's a lot of people on this road. You're not alone. That's the great thing about being a Christian. When you're on the road with Christ, you have other people traveling with you. And everybody is at a different stage. There are many people that are at a much more anointed stage than you are, that are traveling on the same road with you. You're never alone. You always have people to fellowship with, people to call friends. Everybody is traveling this way to Christ. Everybody is burning out all the bad, wicked stuff. But a way to get closer to Christ, a way to really try to improve yourself, is to take the next step. And that means not having a critical spirit. If you recognize that you criticize people, if you cut people down, if you coarse joke, take notice, because I'm telling you what, your spiritual life is in real danger. A critical attitude, take it from me, can hinder your walk with Christ and distract you from God's purposes for your life. I know, because I have suffered from this critical spirit for many, many years, and now I want to share it with you so that you can remove yourself from this critical spirit. Many of us have had a hard life. When I was a little baby, my mom wrapped me up in a blanket, threw me in the back of the truck, and we took off for the Arctic Circle, no questions asked. Something had happened early in my childhood, and my mom had to get out quick. We had to get as far away as we could. And I was raised in the wilderness of Alaska and the Yukon among natives. I had a rough life. I didn't have an inheritance. When people in my family die, I get the bill. I don't know what it's like to come into an inheritance or have a wealthy life or have easy money, or everything I have is because by the grace of God, I've scraped to get it. It really makes me angry when I see people cutting corners and getting ahead. I'm very angry. When I moved down to the United States, coming from an environment where you work 16 hours a day, and I come down here to the United States, I thought everybody was lazy. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then the government gives them money. I couldn't believe that the government would give you money. And then they only work 8 hours a day, and they get the weekends off. I couldn't believe all the stuff. It was like a crazy dream I was in. So I began to get angry. And then my anger only grew worse when I tried to get a job. I had no diploma. I had no college education. I'm an eighth grade dropout. Nobody wanted to hire me. That made me even more angry. But when I began to try to get work and couldn't, it was very, very frustrating for me. So I began to go and start my own little business, doing this and doing that for money. I'd shovel driveways, I'd paint homes, I'd do whatever I could for money. And I'd bring the bacon home. I grew up earning for other people. I've always been the earner. I've never knew another way of life. So by the time I was in my 20s, I had developed a very critical spirit of people of wealth. I'd go and visit their homes, and I couldn't believe these mansions they lived in Bellevue and Hunts Point, Clyde Hill. I remember once I dated a girl who went to Bellevue Christian School. Her family was so wealthy, and I actually dumped her, and I never called her back again because I felt so low. My self-esteem was so low. I just wasn't good enough for this girl. I was afraid I was going to have to meet her parents, and it was going to be all she wrote. They were going to find out that I was this trash from Alaska, no education, and it was going to be all over. I didn't even want to go there. I was so used to being dumped on and rejected by the system down here. I had grown a very critical spirit. I was judging people because of my own self-interests. I became critical because I was comparing, other people to myself. I was getting angry at people that lie. I got into the dot-com industry, and it became plagued with all these people that fudge to get ahead. And I became very, very critical. And by the time I was in my 30s and early 40s, I had a very critical spirit. And I recognize that I need to get rid of that. It's something that you have to recognize in yourself, and it's something that you completely have to get rid of. There is a book of the Bible called Ecclesiastes, and this is a very special book. Ecclesiastes is a book that come from a position of complete and utter wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, there's this real good scripture that says, "Don't make rash promises. Don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few." I thought about that scripture and I wondered, what does that scripture mean? Solomon was warning people not to make foolish promises to God. How many times have you made a foolish promise to God? I remember so many times I'd be at the end of my rope in the bathroom floor, curled up, and I'd always make that same promise. "Dear Father God, dear Lord, please, Father, you get me out of this one. I'll change my ways, Lord. I'll start coming to church." Or you really need that job, or you're trying to bid on this project to get it. And you pray to God and you make foolish promises. If you were an Israelite, making promises to God was a complete serious matter. I am telling you, from Old Testament, New Testament, you don't want to make promises to God that you can't keep. Vows were voluntary, but once made, they were unbreakable. It is unwise to make promises to God you can only partially keep. It is better not to make a promise to God at all than to break one. One big reason that people are critical and try to find fault in others is because we want to prove that we are smarter. I thought mentally up here in my head that I was superior to most of these city boys that grew up in the rich homes and had the fancy educations, because somehow I thought I was better because I had to earn and they didn't. So I would criticize them to make myself look better. Very selfish reasons. Sometimes we criticize others because we want to feel better about ourselves. We get critical when we ask others to do things and they don't do it. Often it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, and sometimes they fail to meet our expectations. So we begin being critical of them, criticizing them. I find myself even criticizing members of my own church. You know, I came into church, you know it all, had a couple golds, had a couple platinum albums. You know, I come in here and I sit through worship, it about killed me. I wanted to fix them. I wanted to make them practice. I wanted to get them in tune. I wanted to make them sound better. I thought, okay, this is my purpose. This must be why I'm here. But it wasn't. I needed to change my critical spirit. The closer I became to Jesus, the more I started to realize it's not about how good the music sounds or if you're in tune or not. It's about the anointing. Sometimes our expectations lead to a judgmental attitude, and I found that I had one, and I was being very critical and very judgmental. And life gets frustrating. Completely gets so frustrating that you begin to be judgmental about everything. And that is when you're in trouble. And if you find yourself that way now, Jesus said it the best. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 1 through 5. "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about that speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." I never knew what that meant. Jesus is telling us to examine our motives and conduct instead of judging others, because the traits that we criticize other people for are oftentimes the same traits that we have in ourselves. These are the same things, and that's why we're being judgmental. That's why we're being critical. That's why we have a critical spirit. That's why we're finding fault and being critical of people. It seems to come naturally to us. But Jesus said not to judge, lest you be judged. God will be as hard on you as you are on others. God is going to judge us by exactly the way we're judging others. And when I read this scripture, I had to repent right away because I have been a harsh judge to other people. I don't want to be judged. If I am judged the way I judge other people, boy, I am in real big trouble. Amen? Let God take revenge. That's a hard one. There are so many people that have done me wrong, mistakes that have caused me so much grief. I used to be so angry, but now I realized I need to forgive them. I don't want to get even with them. I need to love them because these are the same exact people Jesus loves. The people that lied to him, the people that hit him, the people that spit on him, the people that kicked him. All those people that do bad things to us, all those people that steal from us, that lie to us, that despitefully use us, that say things behind my back. But God is good. And if he could change me, he can change you. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, if you ever are having problems, go to Proverbs. Amen. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of the fool belches out foolishness. Have you ever tried to argue with somebody whispering? You can't do it. Every time somebody gets angry at me, I try to remember, please, Holy Spirit, give me the strength. And I, yes, you're so right, brother. I am so sorry that I did this. Please forgive me. I was a fool. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me, brother? Gentle words. Learn not to be critical. Learn to get rid of all that negative criticism from whatever happened to you in your life. Gregory just passed away, a member of this congregation. He was the first member. Me and Solo used to reach out to him in downtown Seattle on the streets. Here was a man who slept under a bridge, drank, was addicted to crack cocaine, was president of the chapter of the Northwest Hells Angels Association. He was about as bad as you could get. And you know, I was critical of him. Every time he came to church, I would say, you know, Gregory, why don't we pray that out of you? Clean up. Come on. Get off the drugs. And he would have nothing but nice things to say. People would say so many bad things about him, and he'd have nothing but nice things to say. And I thought, how could a man fall into this kind of lifestyle? I'm so ashamed right now. After he died, I found out that he was on NYPD, several episodes. He was on several episodes of Star Trek. He played a Klingon. He was a playwright on Broadway. He had everything going for him. I am so sorry that I ever said anything negative about that man. Judgment is very important. The Bible says that God is a righteous judge. The cure for criticism is found in understanding the nature of God's judgment. This sin drives a wedge between us and God. And everybody has their sinful problems, believe me. What sin is keeping you from God? Maybe it's a spirit of pride. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's deceitfulness. Maybe you're struggling with a secret sin that nobody else knows about. We cannot make up for the bad things we have done. So that is why Jesus came into the world. God sent his son right here on earth to die for our sins. Amen? And only God can satisfy that judgment. If we truly understand the judgment that we each deserve from God, we would be less inclined to judge others. Learn to be friends with one another. Learn to love one another. Learn to care for one another. Learn to be friends with one another. Learn to really respect one another and love one another like Jesus loved you. That is the key, is loving one another. Learn to love that person that you're critical of. There are some people I just can't stand. They're so critical. I'm not going to name names. I want to so badly, but I beat that one too. Have grace, please, Father God. Give me grace. And you know it's coming. You know it. Here it comes. Why did you say that to that lady? Hey, I saw you at church last Sunday. Why'd you do that? I want to show love. In Colossians chapter 3:13, it says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The key to forgiving others is remembering how much God has forgiven you. I think about all the horrible things I've done, things that I hope will never come to light. When I kick it, I'm going to be the sold-out show in heaven. Everybody's going to be coming to see that show. You know, the one where you stand on stage and see your life? It's going to be packed because it was bad. And it'll all come to light up there. And I'm going to be standing there humbled and embarrassed. That is why I'm changing now. That is why I want to show God that, you know what? to have eternal life with you, Jesus. I don't want to be loving this world or caring about what the world thinks about me anymore. I want to live a righteous life. Then the more grace God gives me to live this righteous life, He will give you too. He will give you strength and you'll start building it up. And then all these things that you're struggling with, you won't even want to struggle with them anymore. Realizing God's infinite love and forgiveness can help you love and forgive others. Hard thing to do. To forgive the ones that despitefully use you. That is what Jesus was talking about. And I lost my blessing tonight because I'm telling you the story. If I would have kept it quiet, I would have got the blessing, because that's the way it works. But I'm telling you because I want you to learn. Those are the ones you need to forgive, not the ones that are easy to forgive. The ones that stole money from you. The ones that badmouth you. The ones that talk bad about you. Those are the ones you need to forgive. Those are the ones that are very, very hard to forgive. Freely you receive and freely you give, Jesus said. So instead of judging, extend God's love to those around you, beginning with your family, your wife, your friends, and your coworkers. Something spiritually breaks down when you forgive somebody who has despitefully used you. So, in conclusion, we really need to pray. If you like to find faults, if you really want to find faults in people, turn to the Lord right now and ask Him to set you free. Dear Lord Jesus, I am so sorry for the times when I have allowed judgmental attitudes to rule me. Please forgive me, Father God. Help us to remember your mercy toward us so that we can extend your mercy to others. Forgive us, Father God, for the times we've lashed out, lied, cheated because of our pride. Forgive us all the times we've been critical to others, Lord. We repent before you right now, Father God, for our criticism, Jesus. From today forward, Lord, we are going to try to be kind and loving. When people criticize us, Father God, we are going to ask for forgiveness from them, Father God. We're going to apologize to them first, Lord. We're going to let your light shine before men, Father God. We're going to show you and prove to you, Lord, that we care about you and we want to be good stewards of the gift that you gave us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings. We don't even know what to thank you for, Father God, because there's millions of them, Lord. Father God, we could write a book and it would be as thick as time itself, Father God, for the things we don't even know that we could thank you for, Jesus. Please forgive us, Father God, for our critical attitudes and teach us how to be kind and loving. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. I really, really appreciate it.